Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. John says, ultra rare late moment. Sinister forces must be at play here. Oh my God, the forces of evil are crashing onto me indeed. So much things to handle, so much emergency stuff, but we're doing good and we can start the show. Dustin Diamond has sent $17.76. He says, for your enjoyment, he sends this link to a Twitter post. I cannot even view what this Twitter post is mentioning. But this person says, I would again like to remind men that 70% of women have no idea how numbers work, can't visualize figures, not shape rotators. If a girl says she wants a guy to make 500k or 6'4", she means more / taller than her friend's boyfriend. She just knows those equals bigness. Ah, that's an interesting theory, that the requirement of females may not be hard set mathematically. Perhaps they simply represent not a delusion of the female, but a total incapacity to represent amplitude in the domain of numbers. That is interesting. I mean, it kind of would be a white pilling view for females, wouldn't it? It's like, no, they don't want you to make $1 million. They just don't understand what $1 million is. Oh my God. Silver Spider says, haha, I thought it was about 50%. I don't know, but definitely the relationship between woman and numbers is problematic, troubled, unclear at times. All right. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I was answering to Brett Weinstein this morning because Brett Weinstein was saying, and it's in line with the show of yesterday also, he was adding, anti-Semitism is an illogical impulse to generalize beliefs and impose responsibility onto a highly diverse lineage between languages over vast distances and across immense periods of time. It is the antithesis of the West's commitment to individual liberty and responsibility. I don't know. I don't know that when some of the questions that arise in the modern times about Jews, I don't know that it's an anti-Semitism that covers all Jews that ever existed. I don't know that when we've talked about this question on the show here, I don't know that we are particularly alarmed at the Jews of India. I don't know that we're pissed that the Jews of Azerbaijan are controlling the banking sector. I don't know that we believe that the Jews of sub-Saharan Africa are too represented in the media industry. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's about all the Jews. I don't think it's that generalized. I think there are serious questions to ask about the contribution of Jewish contingents, of demographic contingents, Jewish demographic contingents to modern America. And that asking questions about this is not necessarily generalizing. And I believe that even if you were to generalize, even if you were to find a behavior that you'd be like, oh my God, the Jews did this 150 years ago here, and they did this 70 years ago here, and then they did this 10 years ago here, and then they're doing this now here. I don't think that such an observation would be immediately dismissible, and certainly not in contradiction with the principles of the West. If that is in contradiction with the principles of the West, to make historical observations about repeatable patterns and demographic patterns that you observe in history, if that's against the West principle, then the West is against the truth. Because there are some truths. There are some truths about populations that we can state in biology that we can ask questions about, that we can propose as hypothesis, and none of it comes into conflict with any principle of the West. I believe that Brett is mixing between two things here. The desire for an individual judgment of people in the criminal domain, that is absolutely desirable. I shouldn't be held responsible for a crime committed by someone else. Now, this individualization, kind of individual merit in the evil, is absolutely desirable. And yes, I would argue it's a part of Western civilization. A proper justice system that, I mean, we lost this. It's not modern Western civilization. We totally lost this with family courts. But classically, Western civilization is great because it tries to do that. And then there's the question of generalization and probabilities. I don't think it's anti-Western to say I'm going to have a model that Jews are this way and they therefore tend to contribute toward history in this way. And here I see it in this society, and here I see it here, and here I see it there, and here I've seen it again and again enough that I'm convinced of my theory being true. That is not an improper generalization. And so we must distinguish what kind of generalizations are valid, what kind of generalizations are incompatible with the West principle. And I don't think that Brett does a good job at it. So I indicated here about the West's commitment to individual liberty and responsibility, there's a problem. The West has developed a system that tries to attribute guilt for crimes specifically to the person who committed it. But nowhere does it say the West has committed to abandoning probabilistic judgments altogether. There is simply no way someone can knock on every door of a neighborhood to determine the moral standing of each individual based on their individual merit in order to determine whether to move to that neighborhood. For that, there are much more efficient and sometimes the only available measures. The left's and Brett Weinstein's request is to deny oneself tools of probabilistic judgments out of principle. The demand can be illustrated by a game theoretic example, the Bigot's Bounty. Imagine a fictitious world in which there are people with long magician hats and people with no hats. People with long hats differ in various ways. Statistically, there must be some measures by which they will end up differing, even if out of pure randomness. Indeed, we find out that people with long hats tend to be more aggressive. They are more likely to commit random assaults when you cross them on the street. They also tend to form stochastic alliances easily, and they sometimes get together to write smear pieces about you in mainstream media. The Bigot's Bounty is the sum of all interactions where a player could improve their state in the game by trusting a probabilistic judgment of the kind, just avoid people with long hats altogether. Where other forms of individual judgment, such as, hey, this particular person with a long hat is a great human being, are unavailable, too costly, or impractical to implement. The problem of the West is that the Bigot's Bounty is huge, like an elephant, and it's standing right there in the room ready to grab, and the left's explicit request to the world is to ignore that elephant. The one-by-one evaluation mechanism that our legal system is committed to is simply impossible to implement for most individuals in most situations. I can't interview the guy I'm about to cross on the street to determine if staying on the same side of the road as him exposes me to higher danger. I can't knock on every door of a neighborhood to determine whether it's a high-crime neighborhood before I move there. And here's a further problem. Claiming the Bigot's Bounty has consequences on other players. If I cross the street on sight of a long hat, I deny him the experience of regular social interactions in the city. If I refuse to buy a house because there are too many long hats in the neighborhood, I just participated to a reduction of demand on the local real estate market, which can result in a drop of home prices. Standing in front of the bigot's bounty and not biting it is like being a dog sitting in front of a cake, and the left expects the dog not to jump onto that cake and joyfully destroy it. It won't happen. And it's worse than the fact that it won't happen. In fact, whoever does it, whoever waits and doesn't bite the bigot's bounty, is actually getting cocked by whoever doesn't follow the left's requests on that one. The bigot's bounty is a greater unresolved problem for our society than even the tragedy of the commons is. At least the tragedy of the commons stems from explicit disagreements around the boundaries of the common and private spheres, and the private spheres, and the degree of responsibility of individuals toward the common sphere. The bigot's bounty, on the other hand, is nothing else than an explicit request by the left to the rest of society that they should not only lie to themselves, ignore reality, but also undergo the massive personal cost of that lie and carry that cost as a personal burden forever. No thanks. Resolve that, Brett Weinstein. The bigot's bounty. You cannot have a progress of civil rights that somehow relies on everyone self-sacrificing for some desired good that isn't even demonstrated to be achievable. It's like anyone can use freely the information about races to make decisions in life. And it is not against the West to do so. It may be against the West to deny someone a governmental right on that basis, but it's not against the West to say, I want to move to this neighborhood because I think it's better. And so you cannot ask for people's decision to be bad all the time because they have to deny a reality that stems right to their eyes, that's freely available to them and that they can and will use. If you want a system that can be sustainable, you need to make it so that the selfish desires of individuals converge with your targeted goal. The way capitalism made progress in society, progress not in the sense that the leftist means it, but progress in the sense of improvement of the world, capitalism found a great way to combine this with pursuit of self-interest. And it's simple. If you create something that people want to buy, you make more money. You have to find something like this if you ever want a world of self-sacrifice to the racial project of the left. Personally, I don't care. Hopefully, you never reach that world. But it's like, it's something that the left would be well advised to follow. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, JF, Brett would be the first to make sweeping statements and generalizations about whites, that somehow all whites are responsible for every single historical event of any individual white, regardless of ethnicity. In fact, he would advocate for including non-whites in this for their actions. Yeah, I mean, I have been myself targeted by some judgment of Brett, where somehow the presence of a Nazi in my crowd was reflecting poorly on me, so poorly that he would withhold his engagement with an important scientific theory. So I wouldn't say that he would go as far as you say, because I think that his brain is capable of seeing what you just stated there and seeing, oh, I would be caught in a double standard here. But I think that when you force Brett in a corner and you make some stuff play out in deep inside of him, I think that some of the double standard you mentioned, he falls for it still. This is my whole history with Brett, you know. Given that Brett doesn't want to discuss with me, I test Brett. I poke Brett. I prod Brett. Because if you don't want to play with Papa JF in the playground, Papa JF builds an empire of sand. Papa JF starts packing his bucket. And I grind and grind in my head, and I create my castle, and I will find a way to attract you to my playground. Shrink my mail sends a super chat. He says, JF, the girl with the nose ring that I met at the bar a month ago would like me to be her boyfriend. We have been dating casually since our one night stand. There is another girl I've been dating, however, we have yet to become exclusive. Should I settle for the college bar hoe? Well, you are faced with two choices because you've been running parallel stories. I suggest following your heart in the general evaluation of the qualities of the two girls. Now, if you can complete in the regular chat a description of the two, because there are some bar hoes that are not worth pursuing because they will forever be bar hoes, but there are some bar hoes that are convertible to baby making within the week. So I certainly would not want to misguide you on this, because it can be like, go for the college bar hoe, or no, go for the other. So what's the characteristics that you retain from these two girls? And that will allow me to give you a good indication of which side you could go. What's your clue on, basically, for these two girls, how do you evaluate the landscape of the future line, and how long does it take for each girl to get to a baby? So what we know for now is there's one with a nose ring. She wants now to be a boyfriend stable, and you've been dating casually. There's another girl you've been dating, but have yet to become exclusive. Yeah, so it depends on the value of both. How long till each of them makes a baby? That's the question. Let me know more details, and I'll be happy to review your story. Dumb Money, a Hollywood movie about the apes of the crypto world and the GameStop crazy investors who have made all these billionaires shorters of GameStop to be punished. Right now.
Retail traders have hooked into GameStop.
I think they think
70,000 people have watched this video.
Every single trailer from Hollywood is the exact same thing at this point. They just replace the images. But I like that they took this comedian, this actor there. He's very good. The weird face actor that does, he plays in a lot of movie like There Will Be Blood. This guy is good. This guy is very good. And he has the exact face for this kind of revolutionary movement with a t-shirt with cats. You can't make this up. It looks interesting. It looks very commercial. It looks like just a Hollywood drop, as always. Very formatted. But there's place for comedy there, and there's place for fun. And They appear to have attempted to represent. I'm always interested when Hollywood does the representation of the internet streaming world, because there appears to be a lot of streams that show up in this movie, and it's never quite been well captured. The best capture of this world has been, for now, the Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up has captured kind of the mimetic dynamics of the internet on streamings and social media and tweets. And I think this one might also be a good case of this being properly represented. Frederick von Finkel says, JF, the creator looks like quite a good film. They might have based it on TRP. Well, I'm waiting to go see it whenever I get the chance. I don't know if it's up in Canada yet, but as soon as it's available to me, I will be watching it. Someone wrote to me and said I would be disappointed. So someone has been disappointed in my audience about the creator. Hopefully they're wrong. Hopefully I can get excited at it. I'm still floating on the happiness of Barbie, so I'm not particularly awaiting, needing a good movie, because I'm still super satisfied with Barbie. Shrek Mamel has sent in some details about the girls. He says the college bar ho went to the bar to have a one-night stand. She said she would like to have a baby after college. She's a junior in college. The other girl I have met is a freshman, 19, and hasn't had sex yet. She doesn't know when she would like to have children. She might be in school to get a master's. The bar ho changed her mind about us just being casual. I'd say go for the bar ho. It's kind of my blackpilling with women, but, you know, I know that the Christian guy type would tell you, wow, a 19-year-old virgin, isn't that the dream? The thing that people don't realize is that within every 19-year-old virgin lies a future college bar ho. And it's like, yeah, think about it. If there are college bar hoes, where do you think they come from? Yes, they were all 19 at some point and virgin. So it's like you can go for the 19-year-old virgin with the crazy idea that you're going to be her first guy and it is going to be all you forever. But my blackpilling about woman tells me there's lots of chances that she will correct herself in a couple of months. She will drop you and she will go on to with her bar ho career. With the other girl, the advantage is you have someone who has explicitly expressed interest in you, explicitly tried to set up a monogamous relationship with you of stability, and is telling you there's a baby within a year or two, if I understand the length of college. So she is much closer to the point. And when she says there's a baby ahead in 1 year or two, you can inseminate her in 6 months and try to do the end of university type of pregnancy. So there are, I'm finding a lot of hope on this bar ho, on this college bar ho. You know, coming to you and saying, I want some stability, that is something. That is something that she feels she wants to settle. And that is so rare in women, you should capture this. You know? At least if you don't go with her, take a picture of the moment. Take a screenshot of her telling you that, because you're not going to hear that one often. But yeah, I'd go for the college bar ho because baby is closer. The 19-year-old, you know, she might be a good one, but she might not. There's more uncertainty. She knows less about what she wants in life. And it's not clear that it comes from her that she desires a baby soon. Shrink Mamel says, she knows that I have money. I think that can help. You know, that's just the game. That's just the game. You do have, as a male, I feel objectified, but you do have to include money in the kind of charming courtship proposal. It's part of why they go for you. So I don't like being objectified that way because I prefer a woman who falls in love with my mind. But yeah, you have to play the game that you have to play. I'd say one way or the other, you have two quality candidates here. But you have to settle on one, and I'm close to 50-50 on both. But the college bar ho has a more immediate return. I'd go for the college bar ho, and this whole self-driven demand that comes to you, that is extremely valuable. Because it means she has internally set herself. She has decided inside of her that she loves you. Now that is something you won't even get that on all of your wives in your whole career. You won't even get that from all of your wives. That is just how rare it is. Most women are like, they're like a vegetable. They're somewhere between the cucumber and the onion, you know, in terms of cognitive freshness. It's like, no, they don't quite know. But she seems to know because she came to you and made a demand. So that is admirable. It shows some cognition also. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I know you said boomers won't change, but at what age are people stuck in their belief? A coworker of mine, 30, claims to be an independent thinker because society needs change. But as leftist NPC premises, like the government needs to solve poverty and global warming. Is he even worth talking to? I don't believe that there's much ideological decementing happening at any point after 23, 24. I believe it cements, if anything has to cement, in terms of ideology, it will be between the ages of 14 and 24. That doesn't mean people won't say they change their mind, because there is still a genetic progression of people who, as they become older, naturally converge more towards slightly more right-wing, slightly more conservative positions. But that's all part of a predetermined progression. It's not that they've been persuaded. So my general thinking is between the ages of... Basically, I think it follows the curve of cognitive decline. And cognitive decline, around the mid-20s, you're pretty much at your peak, I believe. And that's pretty much where I set the ending of new learning of political ideas and tools. And then whatever you're going to see after this is going to be a slow drift toward a conservative standpoint, but all from the priors. And that is why you get the right-wing boomer, the center-right boomer, who makes arguments around racism. That is exactly why you have this. Because you had the youth with some kind of communist Marxist thought, generosity, etc. And then they have integrated some fundamentals. And one of the fundamentals that they integrated is anti-racism. So when they reach their cognitive point where they slowly drift toward the conservative thought, they become conservative identified. But they're still carrying their Marxist priors around the equality of races and everything. So that's why you end up having arguments like, oh my God, you know, America and the right is best for black people. That's why you end up having Trump solicit so much of black attention and never quite getting it. Cloud Warmer says, JF, should Shrink Mamel tell her about how he won the de facto decision by prominent biologist and TRP PhD JFG to be sent on an Elon-funded mission to Mars to populate another planet over his contender Go Away? This is a demonstration of high value and social proof, is it not? it is a form of social proof, but I don't know that it would be a positive social proof. That's my best advice to you guys looking for girls. Talking about the fact that you're in the JF audience, you might want to keep it low profile. You might want to, I watch videos, yes. Yes, I watch videos. Yes, on YouTube, yes, videos. You don't want to get into any more detail than this because it's going to trigger them. I mean, there, and just like the Aspie shooter of yesterday wrote on 4chan, I have detected many times the immediate disgust of the female kind of, you know, the modern fat lesbian female government employee, unionized secretary. She hates me. She hates me, and there's nothing I can do about it. There's no amount of politeness that will will stop her wrath. She will go after me until I'm dead. She is, and so no, there's just no way. Some females, they cannot digest just the idea of me. The rest in peace, Bupak Shakur. This man was a black man who was doing his own black version of Dateline MSNBC Catch a Predator, where instead of having the whole setup that the classical Catch a Predator had, he was just going with a cell phone, literally doing his own thing, just chatting with people, trapping them into trying to meet an underage girl. And then he was going there, but he had a black style to his stuff that was very much more in your face, much more violent, much more assaulting of the pedos, really. he was filming himself committing crimes against pedos, which, you know, I have to say, like, holy shit, I had never thought about this. That is kind of entertaining, kind of dangerous, if you want my opinion. Like, but, you know, credit for the boldness of the idea. But now he's dead. The idea was too bold. Literally, there are some ideas in streaming that are too bold and the kind of thing I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do IRL streaming because then you have, you know, the whole big idea of IRL streaming is we're going to give power to people on the internet to call someone from a speaker with text-to-speech super chats, basically N-word and other slurs, and we're going to see what happens. This is the kind of stuff I'll never do because it's too risky. You're in the real world. You're losing your time. It's like getting a real job with brick and mortar driving and traffic and being there physically at some place. Already, you're exposing yourself to so many risks. I'm just not going to do it. But in this case, Robert Lee, a.k.a. Bupak Shakur, 40, would spend his time exposing child predators and ultimately help them to get off the street. Alone, he exposed 132 child predators who sought to harm children. At 10:30 p.m. on Friday, Lee confronted two males ages 17 and 18 seated in a Pontiac restaurant near the corner of North Perry and MLK Boulevard. Lee accused one of the men of being a pedo, which caused one man to pull out a knife and the other to pull out a firearm, which he used to shoot Lee. Lee was taken to the hospital where he tragically died. Lee was a hero and he will be remembered as one. Here are some examples of his intervention. Here, it seems that one of his patterns was he would go straight to the pedo and just slash his tires.
Pedophile just pulled up on me. Who you here to meet, sir? You here to meet a little girl, ain't you? You here to meet a little girl? You're a pedophile. Why you ain't get out the car and get gas yet?
Because I'm about to get out of work.
No, you're here to meet a little 15-year-old girl. You're a pedophile.
No.
You a pedophile.
No, what?
Well, what you here for then? Let's have a talk. Let's get out the car and have a talk. What you here for, G? No, you just, nah. You ain't here to get no gas.
Yeah, I am.
You're not here to get no gas, dude. You came to...
Look, I've got a work meeting.
Where at?
At 2.
Now, the way this guy feels obligated to explain to a black man who just slashes tires that he's not a pedophile, and look, I have proof here, I got a work meeting, that almost indicates guilt. Like, bro, the first thing you want to do if someone slash your tires is run or, I don't know, protect yourself. No, this guy is interested at defending the idea that he's not a pedophile. I think he may have been caught in an actual attempt to meet a little girl. Now, people are not. Oh, did they say 17-year-old girl?
Pedophile.
No.
You a pedophile.
No, what?
Well, what you here for then? Let's have a talk. Let's get out the car and have a talk. I'm gonna meet a little girl.
No,
you're... Who you here to meet, sir? You're here to meet a little girl, ain't you? You're here to meet a little girl.
No,
you're a pedophile.
No,
why you ain't get out the car and get gas yet?
Because I'm a doctor.
No, you're here to meet a little 15-year-old girl. You're a pedophile.
I think he said 15. So perhaps in that state, 15 is below the age of consent. I don't know, but I think I heard 15. Now, I don't know. I mean, this raises the question. Hopefully, this guy was honest, because imagine you trap a man to go meet a 18-year-old girl, but then you film him and claiming that, hey, you're here to meet a 14-year-old girl. Hopefully, this Bupak Shaker guy was honest, you know?
No.
You a pedophile.
No, what?
Well, what you here for then? Let's have a talk. Let's get out the car and have a talk. What you here for, G?
Yeah.
Nah. You ain't here to get no gas.
Yeah, I am.
You're not here to get no gas, G. You came to...
Look, I've got a work meeting.
Where
at? 2 on Microsoft Teams.
Well, I got your picture on my phone.
Okay, I got a work meeting at 2.
No, I have your picture on my phone, dude.
And I'm over on my way to my coworker's house, who lives over in Clarkston.
Man, you don't even know where the fuck you at right now.
This is
funny. Yeah, okay, you came from 25 minutes.
Oh, what a funny guy who's doing this. And here, here's another. Again, same MO, the attack on the tires of the pedo.
I love that. What's up, dog? What you come here to do, sir? You came to meet a little girl, didn't you?
A Pontiac, man.
I can't believe this guy was breaking their window. Oh my god, this is such a different mood than Dateline MSNBC. Like, please sit down, sir. It's so classy, and this guy is so not classy. Unbelievable. Well, now this guy is dead because he because of his job, basically, he was trying to catch a pedo. And, you know, you can't go on the streets like this, random pedos. Some of them will be armed. Some of them will be actual gang members trying to recruit prostitutes and that kind of stuff, or human trafficking. So I think he fell on the wrong guys and he ended up dying. That's too bad. I kind of have respect for the noble cause that he was pursuing. But also, it was absolutely stupid. If you're into survival, don't do this kind of stuff. Absolutely crazy. all right. The I don't need a man generation. Do we need men?
Do we need men?
No.
Do we need men?
Honestly, no.
Do we need men?
No.
Why?
Because they suck.
I can't wait for their entire society to crumble.
Do we need men?
No.
Oh my god, look at them in their old city environment, walking on the very tiles that were laid out by men, standing beside the pillars that were laid out by men. Do you know what would happen if men suddenly stop caring about you, lady? This building will literally fall on your head as you answer your little vox pop. Holy shit, man. I can't wait for men to catch on and just withdraw from the system. I'm not particularly advocating for this. Like, I understand some of you guys may need work. You need to work because that's what keeps you in society. That's what keeps you reproductive. Don't do anything for political reasons that would inhibit your capacity to reproduce. But what I can't wait for is there's inevitably a time of civilization where the whole deal with men doesn't hold anymore. And where either men start saying, all right, you're going to pay us three times the salary because clearly, you know, you're paying yourselves ridiculous salary for doing ridiculous stuff. And at this point, we want to claim our share of the pie. And we're doing stuff that's much harder and you're going to have to pay us. Or men just withdraw from the system so much that the quality cannot be expected in work anymore. How much longer will New York City exist? NASA scientists now say that parts of New York City are sinking. Serious, sinking. After the past few days of severe flooding in New York, this is beginning to worry a lot of concerned citizens. According to researchers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, between the years 2016 and 2023, parts of the city have sunk approximately 0.06 inches per year. Part of the reason why some of the city is sinking is because it was built on landfills. The other reasons are natural ones. Tens of thousands of years ago, a giant ice sheet was located on top of New England, which pushed the land down, but it also forced land around the ice to move up. Now that the ice sheet is gone, New England is slowly moving upwards, while parts of NYC is moving back down. Does this mean that flooding will continue to get worse in parts of NYC? Likely so. Oh my God. I can't wait for this whole place to be flooded, honestly. Ladison says, all public school systems, in general, you are correct. Public schools are hostile to our interest. And desirably, they would get shut down. Oh my God, I'm tired tonight. I'm tired. It had been a while. I couldn't take care of my grass, of my landscape, just because I was too busy and I had too much responsibilities on my shoulder. But this morning I woke up early and I said, this is your moment, JF. Now or never, before the winter comes in. It's basically my last chance to cut the grass. So I did the lawnmower. Took me one hour, maybe not so long, but it led me to have to wake up early. So that's probably why I'm yawning. These situations where white men are attacked by groups of black men, it's so scandalous. There's no way you can defend yourself because it starts with a single man where, okay, you might be able to protect yourself from this guy particularly. But then all of his friends come, and who knows, they may not even be his friends. They may be just black people who are solidary with other blacks, and they see a white guy with a white female, and it's like, oh yeah, let's attack them. Female should get away from this conflict. She can only hinder the capacity of his males to properly protect against surprise hits, hooks from the side. Females, note this. You can only be a disruption to your male. Do not try to put your loose arms in between. It won't change anything. It just blurs the picture. The male is trying to estimate threats. The male is trying to keep body distances, calculate the potential incoming kicks, calculate potential dangers from the side. And here you are, like you know, these sales balloons. It's like inflatable salesman. You don't help. You're just an advertising. There is a problem when you were hand in hand with the white man, and now your hand is around the hip of this black man. Please withdraw from the situation. What the fuck is this? Like, how do you end up with a hand around his hip? At this point, I'm wondering, whose girlfriend are you? Now, the white man here should have used the opportunity that a security guard was volunteering. Probably not his job to, you know, the fight seems to have started on the streets. He's probably a McDo employee. Probably not his job to fully handle this, but, you know, that is the right cue to stop aggressivity. But use the fact that a security guard has shown to de-escalate the situation and leave. Same thing for the female. Stop yelling at the guy. He's neutralized physically. You're looking for more trouble now. See, that wasn't smart of the white guy here. While the situation was de-escalated, a punch of some kind. Now, he's defending himself relatively well for a long time, given that there's a cloud of like 5 or 6 people who are more or less... There's this guy who's the main combatant, but look at this. Some other guy comes in. What is this stuff? What is this trend of group attacks? Oh, he's doing good against 5 guys. Now, his girlfriend has gotten pushed on the floor. We're talking 3 people, plus the other guy who came in with a mask, plus some other who... This is 5 against 1. They're really not talented at fighting, thankfully for the white guy. Amazingly, he's getting some punches in on 5 different people turning around him. Definitely he's the more competent combatant. This guy alone could have handled most of these people. See, female here only disrupts. And we have a savate kick, double kick thrown in the air. Here, the female may have had a positive contribution for the first time where he was on the ground. She covers at least one side so that he doesn't get kicked from all sides. Okay, that may have been a good cover of 50% of the surface area by the female. Succeeds at stepping back up. Female can't even walk. This is no one who threw her down. She just couldn't run and she fell on the floor. All of this to say, a total absence of nobility, total absence of justice. So don't hang out in these places like the city. You're going to end up outnumbered. A lot of sense says white guys just watching. Yeah, I mean, for now, it's what it's going to be. So for now, it is a disadvantageous position. You're going to have the blacks group up and the white people don't group up. I'm all for white people not grouping up in these instances. As far as I'm concerned, everyone is a competitor of mine, but I'm totally against the grouping up of the blacks there. If two people have a duel, you should respect the duel, you know? Chandler Holmes says, I have to go to this exact place often. Blacks increased massively recently. Okay, so maybe those are changing demographics across America. Jan Miles Chung publishes this video of hunting boars, wild boars, but look at this. Holy shit, these guys are doing this at the serious level. That is how you get enough meat for your family. Holy shit. It looks like a Star Wars video. What the fuck are these people doing? It's like they have some AI just tracking the bars automatically and shooting all of them. This is America, says Lendald Guntra. Oh my god, I didn't know it was that way. Frog Eyes says, JF, do that machine gun sound, you do so good. JF does the best Air Rambo MG. Ready? Let me cough a little bit, clear my voice, and I'll try to do my best, but I'm not sure. Am I that good? I don't remember. Okay, so you tell me it's the Rambo minigun. So I have to put myself in the mood. Okay, I'm John Rambo. Okay, this tribe of hostiles have just captured the young blonde white female that happened to be in their country for some other reason. And, like, she could be my daughter, and she's super beautiful and all. Now they got her. And now I have my machete, and I'm forging it, and I'm making it more sharp. When you're pushed, kidding's as easy as breathing. Ting, ting, ting. And so now I arrive with my Jeep, and there's the minigun on top of the Jeep. Well, it's not really my Jeep, but someone shot somewhere, and then I run through the forest, and now I jump on the Jeep that they left over. I take the miniguns in my two hands. There's the flow of bullets that are ready to go into my minigun, and it's like, and you hear the metallic bullets coming out of it, and I'm like, is that what you're talking about? Is that was this the noise you wanted to hear? I don't know if it came good on the mic as you expected, but that's my best attempt. I've put myself in the best mood to get to it, to feel it. Dino Rogovic says, I felt the bullet. No, I mean, there's the, like, the automatic, but I think my favorite is, like, and you have the little guy beside, you know, just passing the belt of bullets. Frog Eyes says, "Lol, yes, that's the stuff." Yeah, I mean, I could do some professional audio, you know, sound effects, that kind of stuff. I would love to do that kind of thing. Frog Eyes says, "JF the Tourette Gariffy." Oh my god! Oh my god! Bird Flu says, "Jeff will start a show with haptic feedback on the next gen platform." What is that? Some kind of ASMR stuff? Joe Biden blames Elon Musk takeover of Twitter / X for people not knowing if news they're getting on the internet is true or not. This is meaningless. Look at these softball journalist questions.
What about what Elon Musk has done to Twitter, lowering guardrails against misinformation? Does that contribute to it?
Yeah, it does.
The question is so softball that the journalist is putting it like, does that, you know, lowering misinformation, is that bad? Yeah, it's bad.
Yes. Look, one of the things, as I said to you, when I thought I wasn't going to run, I was going to write a book about the changes taking place. And most of it's directed over the years with these fundamental changes in society by changing technology. Mm-hmm. Gutenberg printing and the printing press changed the way Europeans could talk to one another all the way to today.
Oh, yeah, but I noted this. It's pretty based how Joe Biden talks about how the press changed how Europeans can talk to each other. Is that some form of white nationalism that he's revealing here? Or does he just want to point out that in this particular case, it was an invention of Europe?
Where do people get their news? They go on the internet. They go online. They go, and you have no notion whether it's true or not.
What about what Elon Musk has done to Twitter, lowering guardrails against misinformation? Does that contribute to it?
Yeah, it does. Look, one of the things, as I said to you, when I thought I wasn't going to run, I was going to write a book about the changes taking place. And most of it's directed over the years with these fundamental changes in society by changing technology. Mm-hmm. Gutenberg printing and the printing press changed.
All right, not super interesting. I don't know why I wanted to show this video. Michigan teen who clocked teacher in the head with a metal chair arrested on felony assault charges. This case of a teacher in Flint, Michigan.
Hey.
Yes, teaching is aggression for a generation of a part of America, and they respond back by violence. Very unfortunate, but I mean, this is what the teachers on the front line will be. They will be totally faced with this for the coming years. It's what you're going to get. It's just the current state of America. Trump received cheers from a CA crowd. Is it California? CA? Was Trump in California? After arguing in favor of shooting looters, we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
I can't believe it. You know, these people are killing people when they go into the stores. You'll have 300 young people who are not looking for a good future walk into a store, big department store, and just pillage it. And if you happen to be there when they're there, they'll knock the hell out of you and kill you in some cases. And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to bring back into America the whole idea of castle doctrine, stand your ground, commercial stand your ground, vandalism is an attack against my phenotype kind of stuff. I would like basically to allow escalation toward neutralization of any threat to body and property and safety and kidnapping. So if you can include kidnapping in there and even make it pursuable through self-defense to shoot someone for blocking your car intentionally, basically, like these protesters do, that would be the perfect state. But we're far from this. I mean, can Trump do this even at the federal level? I don't know that he can. You're going to have probably to have a constitutional amendment that forces leftist state to do this. Steinberg says, accelerated castle doctrine for all property, not just yours. That's the kind of thing I want to hear. That's the kind of idea. Like, how do we make it more efficient that you can shoot criminals in this country? In Canada, forget about it. But in the US, you guys are kind of... You have some states that have survived with this tradition, kind of, and it needs to be pushed everywhere. Bird Flu says JF should review Stand and Deliver. Stand and Deliver. What is this? A 1988 American drama. Stand and Deliver, the story of James Escalante, a high school teacher who successfully inspired his dropout-prone students to learn calculus. Ready? Oh, man. I don't know. It looks like, you know, the music, as I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize, it looks like this, but a kind of male slash white version of it without the white guilt part of it all. I don't know. It doesn't look interesting, man. I'm looking at these images from the 80s. I'm disgusted at them. I'm disgusted. Gangster's Paradise, Coolio. Dangerous Mind. I'm disgusted at the quality of the picture here. This whole 4:3 type of filming. Holy shit, I might try, but it's going to be hard to get my attention stayed on this movie. And finally, as a last news item, this is personal. McCarthy hits back after Gates removal threat. That's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office. I'll survive. You know this is personal with Matt. Yeah, Matt Gaetz is trying to kick the Speaker of the House, which I'm all for, but I think that the Democrats and the Republicans have enough converging interests that they will try to keep him in, because they just passed this budget successfully that was supposedly leading to a shutdown, and we didn't get a shutdown at all. They passed a bill, so basically they are on status road. And there's probably enough centrists to make this attempt useless. Doubting Thomas says, JF, Sabine H. made a video on the point of the universe. She cited a theory of cosmological natural selection where physics is ideal to make black holes and birth new universes. She says this suggests that the point is for the universe to make black holes, but then you must also be willing to say the point of life is to make babies, and most won't be willing to say this. Yeah, I'm familiar with this thinking that the tuning of the parameters of the universe would have been kind of subject to phenotypic selection. I don't know if it works in embedded systems. I've seen this claim before. I've not thought it super in-depth. Like, okay, if you have black holes can only emerge in universes that have black holes, and universes can only emerge inside black holes. That's the supposition. So would you have a selection process that farms into existence universes that are more likely to lead to black holes and more likely to lead to the kind of black holes, whatever their parameters are, that can birth new universes? It's interesting. It's very interesting. Probably, potentially valid, plausible. We're still stuck with the problem of the single observation. Can you really do biology with the single observation? And the problem is, what is the counterfactual? What is it that didn't evolve? What is it that didn't happen? What is the list of universes that have died without leaving descent? That is the big question. And out of the holes, the black holes in the current universe, how many of them will be successful parents? How many of them will fail as parents? How many of them will be absent parents of their universe, you know? Kind of, yeah, here, I birthed a universe, but I'm going out there. Or, you know, I'll be doing these other things rather than care for my baby universe. Basically, it's very hard within a single observation that we exist just one time. We have no idea about the other types of universes out there, or even if there are universes birthing into our black holes that we see. All of it makes it very difficult to have a completed, well-wrapped view of how the theory of evolution would apply to the theory of baby universes. That would be my position for now. All right, guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for being so generous with the super chats. We're doing well. And thank you for all who are following us on different platforms, who are watching the clips after the show. Thank you so much, all of you, for your participation to this community. And good luck with the college bar ho, Shrig Mamel. Thank you.